On the last episode, I said I did not know if there would be another episode in this little back to the basics recap thing that we've got going on. Well, here we go on today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, part three of Back to the Basics. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy, hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman of the Hop Nerd LLC, the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd Slideshow, www.thehopnerd.com, all of those different things. I'm going to try to be a good boy, and I'm going to cover all the stuff I need to cover right now in this little introduction thing as quickly as I possibly can. Number one, hop in operational learning in Las Vegas. Come hang out. Come make some memories with me and Stephen Scott in Las Vegas on October 8th and 9th. We are going to dive into exactly that, human and organizational performance and operational learning. It's going to be an absolute hoot. So come hang out not only with us. I think that me and Steve, we are fun guys. Yeah, I think we are. It's going to be an absolute blast. But with your peers, with those other folks that are on this hop journey, it's just going to be a great opportunity to not only get some amazing learnings, but to sit down with other folks that are on this journey and to have those conversations and to get to do that in Las Vegas. Come on, really? It's 6 minutes from the airport. It's like 10 minutes from the strip-ish. I timed it. If you drive like me, it's probably about 8 minutes from the strip, 4 minutes from the airport. Or if you're in Vegas, just get an Uber driver. They drive like the speed of light, right? Like they go. They will get you from the event to downtown and back to the event in about 3 seconds flat. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an absolute blast. So if you want to learn more, head over to www. I'm getting so excited about it, I can't get words out. Here we go. www.thehopnerd.com/event. And you can get the outline. You can get all the information right there. All the stuff that you normally need to get corporate approval, right, to get our employers to pay for this kind of stuff if you're going that route. And if you just want to sign up, because seats are going fast. We've still got some, but they will be gone by the time we get a little closer to the event. Steve@hopimprovement.com. Just send Steve an email. He will take care of you. And wham, bam, you're done. You're ready to come hang out in Las Vegas. Number two, we launched some online learning. Yeah, at www.thehopnerd.com. You cruise over to the website. I'm going to do this with you because I'm sitting at my computer, www.thehopnerd.com. Now, I will tell you before I even get there, make sure you check out the merch store. Make sure you check out the merch store. Make sure that you check out all the stuff that we have going on over there, the free downloadable videos and resources, and check out the services that we offer. Hold on, cold brew break. But you'll notice it changed a little bit. If you go to the top and you click online learning, that will take you over to our online learning portal, which is kind of cool. We've not really done much online learning stuff. We just haven't. But we launched our original introductory course, The Basics of Hop and Learning Teams. It's on demand, learn anywhere, anytime. It's a ton of video presentations and reflection questions and knowledge reviews and guides and printouts and all that kind of sort of stuff. And it covers kind of what you think it would cover. It's a great course for individuals or organizations that are looking for a basic introduction to HOP and operational learning. Now, there's some bonus content in this as well. You get, as I said, downloadable like key ideas and concepts and all that kind of cool stuff, downloadable frameworks for learning teams and just cool stuff that's handy. But you also get a digital copy of Operationally Curious Questions, the guidebook. So there's 20 or so questions in there, plus room to like scribble and all that stuff. It's handy. It's handy as you start down this path. But wait, there's more. I feel like, what's that guy, Billy Mays? He was kind of cool, huh? You remember Billy Mays from the commercials? I was going down the Instagram rabbit hole not that long ago. Hold on, more cold brew. And apparently, like, I was just sitting there, you know? You know how you do that? You ever go into an Instagram hole? Yeah, and you kind of start that weird thing where you start looking at reels, and you're just swiping through. Yeah. And then I come across a picture of this dude in front of Billy Mays' grave. And it's not that I had forgotten that Billy Mays existed. I just hadn't thought about Billy Mays in a real long time. I was at OxyClean and all that kind of stuff. And then that person standing in front of his grave was his son. So now I follow Billy Mays' son on Instagram. I know it's a weird, weird full circle that I'm bringing you back to here based on me just saying, well, that sounds kind of like Billy Mays. But wait, there's more. But there's more. And the more is this. For folks that sign up for that course, you also get an ebook copy of 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less. Yeah, kind of cool, right? Yeah. You get an ebook copy. You just download it, and there you go. Pretty sweet, if I do say so myself. So, again, it's just thehopnerd.com, and then you click online learning at the top. You can go look at the course outline and all that stuff on the pages that it takes you to. On demand, super duper, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, sign up and enjoy. I hope you enjoy it. Now, I would be derelict in my duties if I did not inform you that I'm going to be at the Hawkeye on Safety Conference in Coralville, Iowa on September 5th. Yep. And I'm going to be September 27th at the 2024 Arizona Health and Safety Summit. I'm keynoting at both of these events. These are really affordable public events. Come hang out, hear the keynote, spend time with other folks in this world of safety and human and organization performance. If you want to learn more about those events, just go over to thehopnerd.com/public or just thehopnerd.com and scroll down the middle of the page and click public events. What else is there? Check out the merch shop. We've added a bunch of new merch. My fall's getting jam-packed already. Every time I talk to you guys about this, my fall keeps going, herk, herk, herk. Or is it squeeze, something like that. I was just sitting here before I jumped on to record this, and I'm like trying to flex dates and like squeeze stuff in. I've still got good chunks of open time this fall if you need a hand. I just tell you this because if you have specific dates that you're looking at, let me know, and let me know soon. thehopnerd@gmail.com. We'll get those things on the calendar, come out and help you out, all the kind of stuff that you know I do, from human and organizational performance consulting and learning team facilitation and workshops and on and on and on and on. And what else is there? We're working on some really cool stuff in the background that I can't quite talk to you about. But what do you say? Peep this space. Is that what everybody puts, the cool kids put on like LinkedIn and Instagram stuff? Peep this space. Eyeballs on this space. Yeah, we've got some cool stuff coming out, hopefully sooner than later. One of those things was the online on-demand learning. If you've got some ideas for courses that you'd like to see there, let me know, thehopnerd@gmail.com. But we got that one out. That one's out there now. We've got some other stuff kind of happening in that kind of similar space there as well that I'm excited. I'm so pumped to tell you about, but I just can't. I'm staring at some of it right now, and I can't say it. I just can't say it yet. But peep this space, friends, and you'll find out more. I think you're going to find it super-duper slick and super-duper cool. Now, last but not least, I'm working on some really cool podcast guests, and I've been on a couple podcasts that haven't come out yet. And I'm getting ready to be on another one here in a couple days. So as those come out, just peep that space, LinkedIn. You'll see it. I'll post it all over there once they do come out. But I've had some really cool podcast conversations lately, not here, but on others. And I'm setting up to record with some really interesting, really cool folks to bring you some more interviews and more conversations, not only here, but over on the Sideshow. Because as I bring guests on this podcast, I kind of spring it on them. I'm like, okay, we've recorded the main podcast. Now I need 15 more minutes of your time. Let's talk about everything else. And we're throwing all that over at the Hop Nerd Sideshow. And that's the last thing that I want to tell you, is make sure you like, share, and subscribe to the Hop Nerd Sideshow for all those other conversations, like everything else. So I told you I was going to be a good boy, and I wasn't that much of a good boy. I just get so excited about everything that's going on around here. But here we go. With all of that out of the way, let's jump into today's episode. Well, we are on part three of our basics series, our reflection on the basics, or return to the basics here. I'm sitting here trying to remember what we talked about in the last two. I know that we talked about HOP principles. I know that we talked about some of the ideas of safety differently. And I know that we unpacked select key ideas from 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less. Speaking of which, if you haven't read that book, go check it out. It's available on Amazon, 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less by yours truly. Or if you're interested in that online course that we were talking about at the beginning, if you fast forwarded through that, and I get it, I don't blame you. If you did, you know, I get pumped about all the cool stuff that we've got going on. But I did mention we are now offering online learning, one course, just one course. Yeah, just getting started in that a little bit. But it's pretty stinking cool. It's the basics of HOP and operational learning. Now, the reason why I come back to this is because if you are interested in the book and you're interested in that course, go sign up for the course and you get a free ebook copy of 10 ideas to make safety suck less. So there you go. A bit of a twofer. Is that what we call it? A twofer, if that's something that you're interested in. So as we continue down this path of going back a bit to the basics, I think what I want to talk about today are some of the key ideas and key ingredients of learning teams. The things that make learning teams learning teams. And not only that make them learning teams, but make for successful learning teams. How about that? Now, the first thing that I always start with is this. It's kind of the warning. Yeah, because all the stuff that we've been talking about, principles, ideas, really better beliefs, better assumptions, better ideas, beliefs, and assumptions, right? We're talking about the definition of human and organizational performance. We did talk about that back there, too. I remember now. All of that stuff helping us create an environment in which learning is possible. And then we get really stinking good at that stuff. And it goes from possible to likely. Yeah, creating an environment where learning is possible to creating an environment where learning is not only possible, but it is likely. All of that stuff, better beliefs, ideas, assumptions, all of that. That's the hard part. Everything that we talk about with learning teams, like the actual framework and structure of learning teams and like learn, soak, and improve. And easy peasy, lemon squeezy, super duper easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Right. It is. It's not foreign to us. We see it. We know it. We're familiar with it. It's actually been around for a real long time. That kind of involve those nearest to the work kind of idea in some form of facilitated conversation. Yeah. We know. That's easy peasy, lemon squeezy, but it's not. And the reason why it's not is all the other stuff that we talked about. What I'm saying here is lay the groundwork. I always feel the need to insert this warning because as organizations, we go towards the bright and shiny. Grab the thing, the tool, really the tool that I can just take and throw out in my organization and do to people. And there we go. It's cool. Here we go. I don't need that better beliefs and assumptions. If I don't need to do the work, like that's hard. Like I don't want to do all that stuff. I don't want to like work on creating an environment where learning is possible. That's too hard. That's too hard. Just give me the freaking structure and I'm just going to go out and start doing learning teams. And yeah, we tend to not have very good result there. Yeah, the reason is obvious, right? Is because if our organization is very rooted in blame, shame, retrain, if we're very, very, very focused on finding who was at fault and then tarring and feathering that person, we don't change any of that before we just go out and start trying to use something, a powerful and highly efficient tool such as learning teams. We go out and we just start trying to do that crap. Then we get crap. That's what happens. They've just become another way to seek out opportunities for blame. Another way for us to point to blame, shame, and retrain as being the cure to all of our problems. So that's one of the first warnings, okay, is make sure that you work on those better ideas, beliefs, and assumptions. Can you run those concurrently? Can you run those at the same time? I think so. I've done that working internal to organizations where we start to really have these conversations around principles, around better beliefs, ideas, and assumptions. Yeah. We start doing that. And it's not like we waited 6 years before we got to working with learning teams. No. Like, we started having those conversations. We got that buy-in from the key leaders that we needed to get buy-in from. And then we started doing learning teams in a small-scale, safe-to-fail setting. Micro-experimenting with them. And part of that small-scale, safe-to-fail setting was doing them within parts of the business where the leaders were very receptive to them, where they were kind of HOP champions before they even knew that they were HOP champions. You know what I mean? You can close your eyes and see those leaders within your organization, those folks that already lead with these kind of principles and ideas, these more humanized approaches. They treat their employees like adults. They don't believe that blame actually fixes anything. Yeah, they're pretty good at responding rather than reacting. And all the stuff that we know we've talked about so far in this Back to the Basics stuff, they don't know that that's called HOP, and they don't have to. They're just stinking good leaders. That's where we started. That was part of that small scale safe to fail, knowing that if I go over to this part of the business where it is not good Like, if I say human error, they're going to shoot them and then shoot me. That's not where we started. That's part of that small scale safety fail. So can you run those kind of at the same time, building hot fluency, growing and building support up in the organization for this deliberate shift towards doing things maybe a bit differently than how we've done them in the past? Can you start that and then bring operational learning in pretty quickly? I think you should, in fact. Yeah, I think so. But again, think small scale, safe to fail. All of that's a rambly mess to tell you. Lay that groundwork first. Lay that groundwork first. Don't strip all of the important crap out and then just take the framework and go do learning teams. You're going to have a bad day. Yeah, you're going to have a real bad, bad day. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun for you. It's not going to be fun for the people on your learning teams. It's not going to be fun for anybody. Now, today, I don't really want to talk about the learning team process. Here we go. You ready? Learning team process. Learn, soak, and improve. Okay, done. End of podcast. I don't really want to jump into that. We've done that a bunch. And we might do that again in the future for maybe some of our newbies, our folks that are just getting here. We might do that. But if you need structure and process and all that stuff, again, you can go over to the website. Just click resources. Boom. There you go. Download some stuff. You can see the basic processes of learning teams. It's right there. It's for download for free. If you really want to get a deeper understanding of it, there is the course. I'm not trying to just peddle the course. It is there. It is there if you want to go check that out again over on the website. And then just check out our YouTube. I've got a ton of stuff on learning teams, how-tos, all that kind of stuff over there as well. It's just the Hop Nerd over on YouTube. I don't want to unpack all that. I don't want to unpack all that stuff. What I really want to talk about are those key ideas and key ingredients. I'm bringing us back to better beliefs and better assumptions, really the basic assumptions and ingredients that we need for learning teams, the stuff that makes a learning team an actual learning team instead of just some of the other crap that we've done, and then some of the key things that make them highly successful. And if you've been around for a minute, you've heard these. So if you've heard these already, it's a good recap. And if you've not heard these, it should be pretty valuable to you. But these five key ideas that I like to start with learning teams, it's this. Number one is operational reality lives nearest to the work. Those that live with process XYZ, those that do process XYZ, those that work with, work through, maybe sometimes work around, those that make it happen, those that GSD, and we know GSD, those that get shit done every day and every night with process XYZ. Guess who best understands process XYZ? You guessed it. It's not me. It's not you. It's not the VP of process XYZ. It's the person that works with that crap every single day. Yeah, that's the person that best understands process XYZ. They know where things work well, where things don't work, where things are actively going wrong, where we're nearing failure, where we're really strong, where things are going great, where we're really brittle, where it's really easy to make a mistake, and on and on and on. And guess what? They usually have some pretty stinking great ideas on how to improve process XYZ. What we're saying is that operational reality lives nearest to the work. It lives nearest to the work. And you know my story. I think I said it in the last episode, so I'm not going to. But these are the people that work with this process so much that their spidey senses go off. Like when they feel a vibration in the floor, they're like, ooh, I know what this is doing. They can feel it almost in the air. They have an intimate understanding of whatever that is. Operational reality lives with those people. It lives nearest to the work, and it can only live nearest to the work. Now, number two, seeking to understand operational reality affords us opportunities to improve. Real and realistic opportunities to improve. Sorry, I'm about to knock over my cold brew here because I'm so pumped. So since that's happening, I'm going to go ahead and have a little drink. Hold on. Oh, a little drinky poo, having a little Dutch Bros cold brew. I'm cold brewed and zenned up, ready to dig into operational learning this morning. But seeking to understand lived operational reality affords us opportunities to improve. As we said, real and realistic opportunities. Because instead of best guesses, maybe when we're far, far away, it's operational best guesses or operational fantasy or just kind of guessing, making stuff up. Operational reality is exactly that. It's operational reality. If we're not deliberately and frequently seeking to understand the true operational reality that exists within our organizations, work is done, work is imagined. Yeah, sound familiar? Black line, blue line. We're more than likely just guessing. Yeah, they're just operational best guesses at that point. The more we seek to understand operational reality, the more we find opportunities to improve, the right opportunities to improve. When we dig into that, we can avoid getting mired down and trying to fix the wrong problems. That sounds familiar, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Because we're learning from those nearest to the work. Operational reality. Yeah. The deeper we learn about operational reality, the better our improvement strategies will be. That was number three, if you weren't counting. Real and realistic ideas for improvement. We know that the more time we invest into learning, the better our improvement strategies will be, the better improvement strategies that will emerge. It's this recognition that we as people, we have a strong desire to fix crap. We do. If we walk through our house and we see something that's broken, we might ignore it a few times, but eventually, like, our desire to fix crap just takes over. And most of the time, we're just going to pick it up and fix it. It's don't like broken stuff. We have this strong desire to fix. And that's not always so bad. But so much so, we have this desire that sometimes we pour a lot of time into fixing without very much, if any, time poured into learning. Back to operational fantasy. When we do that, we're not improving operational reality. We're just improving upon our operational best guesses. As we said, that sounds bad because it is. Yeah, that's how we fix crap that doesn't need fixed. That's how we have solutions that are in search of problems. Yeah, that's how we end up in these weird places where we go out and we make things far, far worse, trying to make things better. Yeah, so we have to deliberately prioritize the act of learning over the act of improving or fixing. We learn for the sake of learning because learning alone is enough. Oh, we know that. Learning still makes us operationally smarter. We also recognize, I think this is number four, that we're better at solving problems together. That we each bring unique information sets, perspectives, opinions, experiences, assumptions, thoughts, ideas. We bring all of this collection to the table. And when we put our heads together, some pretty phenomenal things can happen. When we can have real deal conversations, conversations where we can agree, disagree, debate, challenge, dissent, maybe just short of throwing chairs at each other, you know what I mean? Where we can do that respectfully, we can respectfully argue, we can come up with some pretty amazing ideas for improvement. But not only that, each of us can walk away from the learning team, this learning team process, having learned a ton as individuals, as groups, from those that we've been on a learning team with. Now, the last one that I want to cover here on the end of these five key ideas, and I'm going to say it again just because it's super duper important, but reflection. Reflection is vital to the process. It's vital to the learning team process, and it's vital to learning in general, providing this deliberate time and space for reflection. It is required. It's vital to learning. We need time and space to reflect, to think, to go look, to ponder, to wonder. Having this time and space helps to also relieve some of the pressure. If I'm on a learning team or some learning something of you giving me a problem and saying, now fix it. Yeah. Sit down for an hour and give me the solution. I need a bit of that pressure relief. So when I walk into that first meeting of a learning team, we said learn so can improve, right? Yeah. When I walk in there, and the facilitator tells me, like, we're just in learn mode. We're not going to talk fixes. We're not going to talk improvements. I can kind of go, whew, okay, so we're just talking. Yeah, it's a bit of a pressure relief valve as well. I don't have to give you an instant answer or instant better. It gives me time for ideas and answers and information to bubble up. So those are five key ideas that, again, we tee that up here at the Hop Nerd LLC around learning. So with these five key ideas, operational reality lives nearest to the work. Seeking to understand lived operational reality affords us opportunities to improve. The deeper we learn about said operational reality, the better our improvement strategies will be. Number four, we're better at solving problems together. And five, providing deliberate time and space for reflection is vital. Don't skip it. It's important. I'm going to say it again. Yeah, I told you that. Now, a few key ingredients. Some of these we've kind of touched on in some of those key ideas, but these ingredients, they're crucial to learning teams. In my mind, they're really what makes learning teams learning teams. Really, it truly is. We talked better beliefs and assumptions, land and groundwork. Yeah, I gave you that warning. But with those better assumptions in place, those better ideas in place, these are the key ingredients beyond those that really, really make learning teams. And at the very least, they make learning teams successful learning teams. Yeah, does that make sense? Let me name these first, and then we'll discuss them a little bit. But number one is an environment in which honesty is possible. Number two is operational curiosity. Number three is better questions. This should sound familiar. Are you ready? I told you I was going to tell you again. Number four is giving people time and space to think, ponder, and reflect. Boom. Told you I would tell you again. Number four is the goal. And number five is micro experimenting. So since I said them at the beginning, I won't say them again at the end. Let's just talk about them a little bit. So for learning teams to work well, honesty must be possible. We have to deliberately create an environment in which people can tell us the truth. Without that environment, what's the point? I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear, because if I don't tell you what you want to hear, you're going to beat me. You've got to have that environment where we can speak the truth, an environment where people can openly share and discuss raw and real deal information, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the scary, the strange, the weird. Yeah, relating to their work. We should be seeking to create this environment throughout our organizations, but especially in the learning team environment. We have to have it. If we can't tell the truth, there's no point in doing a learning team. The next is operational curiosity. I would say extreme operational curiosity. I would say genuine and well-intended extreme operational curiosity. Not judgment, not blame, curiosity. It's kind of the antidote to judgment and blame. This strong desire to learn the operational reality that exists throughout our organizations. Now, this comes along with a pretty significant burden. The burden is setting aside our FOFO, our fear of finding out. You know that I don't want to open that can of worms. I kind of know what's in there and I don't want to see. We have to embrace seeing. We have to want to look at the good, the bad, the great, the weird, the ugly, the scary. We have to want to see it. We have to set aside that FOFO and embrace operational curiosity. This operational curiosity pulls us away from judgment and blame and drives us to seek to understand. Now, as learning team facilitators, curiosity is an absolutely powerful tool. I would border on calling it a superpower. I hate when we throw that in there because every single freaking thing out there is now the next leader or safety pro or something, a superpower, but it's a pretty stinking powerful tool. Yeah, and it's not just for learning team facilitators, for leaders, for all of us. When we hear something that piques our curiosity, you know what I mean? Something that kind of activates our neener, 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 neeners, our spidey senses. Yeah. And you can feel it. Someone brings something up and you kind of like turn your ear towards them. You go, what you, huh? Whoa, well, that sounds interesting. Or when somebody says something and you kind of just, you kind of sit up in your chair and you're like, whoa, that kind of stuff. Lean into it. Yeah, it is a golden thread. It will not steer you wrong. Follow it. Yeah, follow it. Better questions. Questions that sound a lot like, can you teach me, can you show me? Learning-focused questions. Questions that aren't designed to validate our assumptions or prove out our theories. They're not designed to be pointed or find fault or seek opportunities for blame. Why didn't you follow the procedure? You were supposed to follow the procedure. You signed a page in the book that said you're going to follow the procedure. None of that stuff. Quite the opposite of that. Questions that are that encourage people to teach us their story of normal work, warts and all, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the scary. Information is just information. Remember, it's not good or bad. It's just information to help us make better operational decisions. Yeah, there we go. We're going to find that people made or are making mistakes. Errors and mistakes are normal. So stinking normal that it's boring. You'd think that's a principle. It is, yeah. That they're sometimes bending or even breaking the rules. Normal. That they're working around processes and procedures or guidance. Normal. Yeah. Our guidance should be crafted to seek to understand how that makes sense, because it does. It does. Or if it's after something bad happened, why it made sense to those involved. Because it did. And how our systems of work can be improved to better support those doing work. Not to point fingers at them or throw rocks at them, but to understand how it makes sense because it does. Now, I told you the point of reflection, a soak time, room to think, don't skip it, super duper important. When we get to doing learning, it feels like we should be super duper efficient and skip it, but you shouldn't. Don't skip it. Don't skip soak time. Give people at least 24 hours, about a day. There's a reason. There's a reason why in every culture around the world, we have something that sounds like, I don't know, I need to sleep on it. It's important. Yeah, it's important. The goal. We've mentioned this, but the goal of a learning team is to learn. Period. I didn't say fix. I didn't say improve. I didn't say issue 18 corrective actions and a ton of improvements. I didn't say that. I said the goal of a learning team is to learn. Let's maybe expand that a bit and say the goal of a learning team is to gain an understanding of normal, everyday, usually successful work. to gain an understanding of the context of normal. Yeah, there we go. Because we value and prioritize the act of learning. Even if we don't have 18 corrective actions or a ton of improvement, the act of learning, of knowing more alone, is worth it. And it still makes us operationally smarter. We also know, as we said during our key ideas, that if we start fixing without the learning, then we just start fixing the wrong problems usually. And we usually just start breaking crap. We just start making things far, far worse. It makes us feel good because we think we fixed a bunch of stuff, but we actually didn't make things all that much better. The goal of a learning team is to gain an understanding of normal work and experimenting, giving things a shot, trying things on for size, experimenting in a safe to fail setting, innovating with things, trying to break crap before we take it to scale. You know, going out and saying, hey, we come up with this cool idea out of a learning team. It seems like it's going to work. Let's get this tested in a small group of folks. Let's see how this works out for us. It helps us to not only make sure that our ideas are going to work outside of the learning team environment, you know, in the real world, but it helps us to identify and work through, around, make better all the unintended side effects that come along with all of our improvement strategies. We mentioned this a little bit, but yeah, if you ever try to fix something and it actually doesn't fix the thing you're trying to fix, but not only does it not fix the thing you were trying to fix, but it makes like 10 other things far, far worse. Yeah, unintended side effects. Micro experimenting. Solutioneering, I heard someone put it the other day. Try storming. Yeah, small scale, safe to fail, give it a shot, look for unintended side effects. It helps you avoid a whole mess of trouble. So there you go. There are five key ideas related to operational learning teams. I would say the assumptions around learning teams, and then some key ingredients, a few key ingredients. I think there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe fact check me. I might be wrong. It might have been 5, but I think it's 6. 6 key ingredients that make learning teams learning teams, and at the very least make learning teams successful learning teams. Now, what have we covered so far? Geez, we've covered a lot of stuff around key ingredients and ideas and assumptions and principles. And I was going to say ideas again because there were ideas again. I don't know that there's going to be a 4. Now, I said this last time and there was a 3rd one, but I'm not so sure. Maybe by this time we'll have on one of those cool guests that I've been kind of hinting about. But in the meantime, if you want to get any of this information that we've talked about, you can go over to the resource pages on the website. The resource page, not pages, the resource page on the website, thehopner.com/resources, or just go to the website, thehopner.com, and click resources. You can listen to the podcast. You can do all that stuff over there, see services, everything that we've kind of got going on. I would encourage you to go over and sign up for the mailing list. I don't put those like pop-up things in the website very much because they're super freaking annoying. I think I've got one on the resource page and it's been there since the website started. And a lot of that's because I'm going to say I'm lazy. I haven't gone in and edited that. And the other part is I don't remember how to edit that. That's probably not good. So I don't know that I know how to get rid of it, but I don't do that. When you go to the website, I don't want it to pop up and be like, join the mailing list, join the mailing list. Hey, have you joined the mailing list? 3 more questions. Have you joined the mailing list? No, I share it with you because it is a great way to see everything that we've got going on, from online courses, as we mentioned, to new podcasts, to public speaking stuff and workshops and new resources. I think I said that already, and new YouTube videos and on and on and on and on and on. So do me a favor, go over and sign up for that. If you want to just scroll down to the bottom of any page, you'll see a gray bar that runs across. It's that bottom menu, and just click mailing list. There you go. When you click mailing list, I'm going to do it right here with you. You click mailing list. It takes you to like an easy peasy, super duper easy box. It's like first name, last name, email, subscribe. Boom. There you go. You get updates to your email inbox. Anytime a new podcast comes out, when new videos come out, I send them out once per week. I don't bombard you with a bunch of stuff. Every now and again, you'll get an extra one if we release something that's just super duper cool. And I just want to share with you that I just get too pumped and I can't wait to tell you about it. You might get an extra email, but it's a once a week, weekly check-in. That's what we call it. You'll see it pop in there, and it's just everything that we've got going on. Stuff that I think can help you, or stuff that I think that you might find valuable. There you go. We talked a few ingredients and a few key ideas relating to operational learning. I greatly appreciate you being here. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.